Good morning.
Good morning.
Because I am a surfer, and I did wear my suit today because I really wanted to look sharp, but, you know, I've got to do this, okay? I love you, but, honey, can we do this right here? There we go. Thank you, honey. Thank you. Yeah. That's better. That's much better. Well, you know, interesting, we were talking about nations, and in today's message from the Gospel of Matthew, you know, Jesus is gathered here on the Mount of Olives, right outside of Israel. And my wife and I have had the opportunity many times to go to Israel and walk up that part right there in Jerusalem, go up to where the Mount of Olives, right where Jesus sat with the disciples. And here in Matthew 24, he's gathered his disciples together because they're asking, what's it going to be like at the end times, right? And he sits them down and he has a discussion. And he talks about nations. He talks about gathering the nations. And in today's message, it's going to take a look at the nations. And he's going to have some on the right, and he's going to have some on the left. And so we're going to talk about that today. But you know, I wanted to share with you that my wife and I have been just absolutely blessed. My gosh, Pastor Benjamin, I just can't tell you how much we appreciate. And meeting your father, Pastor Senior, you're here. Praise the Lord back there. I want to hear it. Amen. And met his precious wife and got to learn about this church and the impact that you have had in this community and sent out missionaries and planted churches. God bless you, Pastor. We ought to just thank you, Lord. God bless you. Woo. And I tell you, my sister here, Lisa, woo, good girl. You know, we've been connecting up here in a very short time. Probably within about the last month, just on having me come up and speak, because what took place was your pastor, Justin, right? Justin Ross. Pastor Justin Ross is finishing up his master's degree, master's in divinity, I believe. Yes, master's in divinity, yes, at Bethel Theological Seminary on the West Campus there in San Diego. The main campus, as you may know, is in St. Paul, Minnesota, was established in 1871. Very solid, biblically sound theological seminary, I'm a professor there. I'm one of the associate professor, adjunct professors at Bethel, and I happen to teach a topic that deals with establishing faith-based ministries within secular institutions. How do we establish local ministry right here at home, right? How do we establish faith-based ministries? And I would add that by saying, how do we establish faith in Christ-based ministries within secular institutions? And not just put them there, but I mean put them there that are effective. Right? It can, it is, and it is growing. It is an opportunity. And so I teach this. I'm passionate. Can you tell I'm a little passionate about this? I am very passionate about that, and I teach also other classes in polity, and that's where I met Justin. I'm teaching the class on polity, and Justin was there, and I guess he sort of connected with me, and I think he kind of got my energy, and he said, you got to come and talk. I said, praise the Lord. When he called me, he said, my nickname is Chappy, Chappy, because I'm also a director of chaplaincy for a state institution, a state hospital. And I work with teenagers, work with a lot of kids, and they thought I was cool because I was a surfer. And they said, you're a cool Chappy guy. And so I became this Chappy years ago, and that stuck. So they call me Chappy Dave. And so when I was there, he said, Chappy Dave, would you come down and speak about local missions? And I said, I would love to. And when he told me, I was thinking he's right around the corner. I didn't know he was from Anchorage, Alaska. And he says, oh, we want to send you up there to Alaska. And I said, what do you mean Alaska? This is San Diego here. You know, we're the lower 48. And I'm San Diego. I'm the lowest 48. But, you know, I'll tell you, we came up here and the hospitality, oh, my gosh. How can I tell you? Jack and Deb Marsh. You guys know Jack and Deb Marsh? You know, uh-huh. Their hearts opened up their home to me and Sandy, and we thought we were a bed and breakfast, e pluribus, you know, absolutely five star. We have been treated like just loved missionaries And we are so blessed. And so, you know, I'm just excited about being here. And I hope that today's message that deals with local mission, and it's one of those areas where, you know, you come through this purpose-driven life, right? Yeah. Let's talk about this next step of going, you know, how about a Jesus-driven life? How about a Jesus-driven life? You know what I'm saying? Because listen, folks, those of you who are sheep, and if there are some goats here, God bless you, we love you. But my prayer for you goats is that you'll listen. Be open. Just listen. Just be listening. Because God so much wants to convert that goat heart into a sheep heart. And oh, be ready. Just be ready. You know, you sheeps out there, we're just going to have a day of celebration. And I just know that what I want to talk about is this aspect of wiping out. Because being an old surfer, I wiped out a lot. And you know, wipe out has a lot of meaning, doesn't it? You know, we've all wiped out. Relationships, all kinds of situations in life. You cannot get through life without what? Wiping out. But the attitude is this. How do you deal, right, with the wipeout? Amen? Woo! Come on, I can't hear you. Amen. It's how do we deal with that wipeout? So I've got a little intro here. It's going to be kind of fun. A little U2 music. And here we go. Yeah. Woo! Sometimes the feeling takes me. I like U2. Turn it up a little bit. That says wipe out. It's a little out, but it's wipe out. A true story of winning. You know, today we're going to take a look at these main scripture verses that apply to how we as believers in Christ recognize that we all wipe out, but God has a plan for each and every one of us that we can be that one who gives a winning story. It's that winning story. And I've got my own winning story, and I know you do too. But you know, I'll tell you, we're going to begin with this first verse here that begins with Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. If you want to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, we're going to look into that scripture verse, and then we're going to go to Matthew chapter 25, 34 through 40. So get your finger over there. So we're going to go Philippians 4, 13. We're going to take a look at Matthew 25, 31, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 through 40. And then we're going to close up with Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. That's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. So we got that, Philippians 4, 13. We're going to have the body in there in Matthew 25. And then at the conclusion, we're going to wrap it up with Ephesians 3, 20. So that's where we're going to go today. So now that you've been told, we're set. Philippians, I can. Do. You know, I used to be a children's ministry pastor for 10 years. Can you tell I'm kind of like with kids? I did a lot of stuff with kids. I love kids. We used to have this memory verse that every one of these children learned, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What is missing out of all? Nothing. I can do all things. Do you believe that? You see, that's the key, isn't it? Do you believe you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you? Author Eugene Peterson, in his book, The Message, right? The Bible in contemporary language interprets Philippians 4:13, the 21st century listener, this way. He kind of goes into, whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. Ooh. Doesn't that remind you of Colossians 3:17 that he says, whatever you do, whatever you do, whatever I do it unto you, Lord. I don't know about you, but whatever is whatever. That's the whole thing. Lord, I come here today to be blessed, Lord, to be in fellowship, to be built up, Lord. Just want to be encouraged as I'm here on Sunday and I gather with my brothers and sisters and I'm built up, Lord, and thank you for that. But boy, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, after service is over at noon today, right? Whatever I do, I want to be looking for those opportunities today, tonight, tomorrow morning when I get to work, when I go minister at the shopping center, when I go to Savon's, whenever I'm alert to opportunity to lift people up. Everywhere I go. Why? Well, here's why. I can make it through anything. Wipeouts in life are guaranteed. It's a given. However, wipe out to winning. Now, that is the message. Wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one Christ Jesus who wiped out my sins at Calvary. Oh. I am more than a conqueror. Amen? Woo, I am a champion. Amen? I am winning the wipeout, you see. And if you would bow with me right now, we want to pray God, the Holy Spirit will just move today. Let's pray. Father God, we bow before you. Father, we praise your holy name. Lord Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through you. Oh God, we praise you. We thank you. Have your way today, Lord. Use me as a vessel, Lord. Let it not be my opinion, but your word, for your word is truth. And I pray, God, you have your way with your body. Lord, open their ears. Speak into their inner being, Lord, into their person. Strengthen them for this good day. We pray your word be glorified. You be glorified, Lord Jesus, in all that takes place today. In the precious name of our Savior, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. In my own story of wipeout to winning is the reason that I stand before you today. I was born in San Diego, as I mentioned. I was born in the late 40s. I started surfing in the late 50s. I hung out with the movie moguls of the surfing and sports world and ended up as president of a television and film producing company in Hollyweird. The old Bruce Brown classics, I was involved in sports films. I was not involved in dramatic issues. I was the president of the film company. And I was executive producer of the films that were produced through Bruce Brown. You guys may be familiar with The Endless Summer, the On Any Sunday. I was executive producer of the films. I believed and I thought that the ride would never end. I was the idol that Daniel saw in King Nebuchadnezzar's dream. I, like King Neb, stood on my balcony and I said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling for my power and for the honor of my majesty? I had my own chauffeur for many years. I traveled to LA and I had my movie business and I traveled the world. Whew. I was the idol. But you know, it's great in the Word of God. The next words that came from God was this. The kingdom has departed from you. God's love restored the king's mind. And his love transformed me from the goat on the left to the sheep on the right. But I needed to wipe out, folks. King Neb fell into a grazing pasture I fell into the Grand Canyon. The fall was straight down and a long, long, long way down. My wipeout on February 5th at 11:30 in the morning, 1983, was my beginning. It was my beginning to winning the treasure that was set before me. By way of this introduction to today's message, which is local mission, living a Jesus-driven life here and now. Our text in the scriptures from the 25th chapter of Matthew's gospel is a picture of this great treasure of believers gathered in the presence of Jesus, who is sitting on the throne of His glory. Let's look in the Word together. In Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations. Now, isn't that wonderful? We just talked about the nations. Ooh. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. When He came to earth the first time, He humbled Himself. Even after 3.5 years of ministry, He rode into Jerusalem on a humble animal. He was about to humble Himself unto death. And last week's sorrows of Good Friday, yet to rejoicing last Sunday because He lives. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. Can I hear you? He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Glory to God. Woo! Praise the Lord. But when Jesus comes again, He's coming back, folks. There's over 300 references in the scriptures that says He's coming back. He's coming back when He comes back again to judge the world. He will come with brightness, splendor, radiance, magnificence, and majesty that can only be described as glorious. And the true church, the body of born-again believers who are His bride, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Notice, however, here in Matthew 25 and verse 32, that the unbelievers will be gathered there too. King Jesus recounted the destiny of the human race in this vivid picture, and He has set the standard by which it will be judged. You see, this picture of believers and unbelievers all together at the glorious throne of Christ is a motivation for me. You see, as a follower of Jesus of Nazareth, to become all things to all peoples, that through my love for others, my compassion for the lost, my alertness to the needs of the sick, the prisoner, the homeless, that God, the Holy Spirit, would send me to share His love first to the believers, then to the whole world. That goats would be transformed by the Good Shepherd and join the flock of sheep. You know? You see, to assemble on the right, to avoid the consequences on the left. But you see, the question is, what about you and me? What about you? What about me? Do I see the goats? Do I see a heartbeat for them? You know, I got my salvation. I'm cool. You know, I'm set. I got a wonderful body of church, man. I'm plugged in. Good. You know, I'm working. I got, you know, I might have good health, bad health, but I'm, you know, I'm okay. I'm good. You know, I'm set. I don't have to worry about those folks out there. You know what I mean? I'm set. You see, we got to have a passion for the goats. We got to have a passion for them. We do, guys. We've got to. You know why? Because our names are written in the book of life. We're there. We're already there. We've got the greatest gift. We got the treasure in us now. Oh, man. So everything, whatever I do, I want to be a witness to everybody I come in contact. Does that mean I walk around and beat them over with the Bible? Absolutely not. But if the Holy Spirit moves you to do that, praise the Lord, you do it. He'll do the work. You show up. But I got to love everybody. I got to encourage everybody. I got to get out of my circumstances. I don't care what your circumstances are. You got your name written in the book of life. You got the greatest gift of all. You're already there. Now let's move on. I got to look to the needs of others. I got to be a passionate Christian witness, not an apathetic. This body of Christ of ours in our country, in our nation, with all due respect, and my doctoral research demonstrated, sadly, that we have an apathetic body. And I'm talking evangelical body of Christ. I'm not talking about the mainline denominations. I just did my research right in the evangelical body of Christ. And it was sad to see that almost 90% of the body of Christ were indifferent to the lost. Because they're comfortable. I said, I don't see that in the Bible. And the Bible says, talking about comfort, it says, God is the God of all comfort, and he sends his comforters to comfort those who need comfort. Hey, you know what I'm saying? Therefore, I got to be out there comforting folks. I can't, not comfortable. I'm supposed to be a little uncomfortable. As a matter of fact, if you're not, oh, Lord's got a plan for you. He's going to move you. Oh, glory. You see, we want to have that situation in our heart that we don't want those people to suffer the consequences of the left. You see, a Jesus-driven life is a life of Christian witness with passion, not apathy, not indifference, not on the sidelines of earthly life. Believer, you are not of this world, Philippians 3:20 says. You are a citizen in heaven already. We're just stuck in this body right now. You know what I'm saying? This thing's restricting me. I move. I'm a shaker and a mover. You know what I mean? I like to move, man. I power walk everywhere. Everywhere. These things holding me back. I can hardly wait to get my glorified body. I want to have a, woo! I want to be there. And I get one. I know that. So what I'm doing right now, I'm holding back right now. I'm not of this world. I got a little bumper sticker on my car that says, not of this world. Because I died February 5th, 1983 at 11:30 in the morning. I tried to kill myself. I tried to take a .357 gun, blow my brains out. And the moment I got ready to pull that trigger, God spoke to me audibly. I love you. And all I'd been hearing for weeks was, you bad, you take yourself out, you no good, da-da-da-da-da. It led to the down, to the point where I took that gun and I was checking out. And just before I blew my brains out, God said to me, I love you. When the creator of the universe talks to you, you will listen. And I put that gun down and I went into my house. And I dusted off a Bible I hadn't looked in 20 years. And the only thing I knew was I love sports, man. I watched those guys walk by with those plaques at the football games. JN 320, JN 316, JN 316. I love those guys at those football games that have John 316. John 3, and I said, well, the only thing I know is this John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who should ever believe will not perish, but have everlasting life. Bam! Whoa! Yes, Lord! I got it! Yes, Lord! I stopped! I said, whoa! I from that day, February 5th, 1983, at 11:30 in the morning, I was a goat! I became a sheep! And I was born of the Spirit. And I'll tell you, I ate the Word of God, Pastor. I ate the Word of God. I inhaled the Word of God. I joined old Chuck Smith and the hippies. And I went down in Calvary Chapels and got saved. And man, oh man, I couldn't stop but eating the Word of God. I ate it. And God called me out of my ministry and out of my work. And my wife said, you got to do something about this. You got to go to Bible college. I said, whoa. She sent me to Bible college. I went from finance and entrepreneur and business and soul and liquidator and said, I'm going to just pour myself in to the Word of God. I want to know this Jesus. Oh, I ate the Word of God. Got a bachelor's in biblical studies and theology. Went on and got a master's in divinity, right? And then went on and got a doctorate. Go figure. But God said, I got a plan for you, buddy. Are you willing to listen to me, right? I said, yes, sir, because I should be dead. You see what I'm saying? I should be in hell. Every breath I take, right? It's an extra bonus check, hello? Because I know where I ought to be. If he had to save me, I would be in hell today. Because that tells me, Lord, you're real. I don't need religion. Give me a break. I want the Jesus. What's Billy Graham's daughter? Just give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. Just give it to me. I want you, Jesus. I want to know you more. Isn't that wonderful when Paul talks about that all through Scripture? He says, I just want to know you more, Lord. Make that the passion, folks. Make that every part of your being, just to know Jesus more and more every day. Oh, God, I want to know you more. On earth today, there is not an outward of separation. You see, it's not outward. The righteous and the wicked, we live together here. But when Jesus comes, the distinction between them will be apparent. And he shall set the sheep in verse 33 and on his right hand, but the goats will be on the left. You see, the right hand is the side of the acquitted, the side of the blessing and joy. The left side is the side of condemnation and judgment, a place of sorrow. Isn't it wonderful to say, I'm a sheep. I'm assembling on the right side. I've been rescued from the dominion of darkness, Colossians 1:13. I have been indwelt by the power of God, so therefore I walk in the Spirit, so I will not gratify the flesh. I want to seek you, Lord. I want to put my mind on things above, you see, which is why we lead right into that Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ Jesus because my altitude is up here. And my altitude's up here. My attitude's going up here. I start getting my altitude down here. I get on self. I get on pity party. My attitude's going right down with it. I get my altitude up, get my eyes fixed on Jesus. I just say, Lord Jesus, you have my way with me today. And you know what? God just fills me with this. Ooh, just give me more. I want more of that. I want more of it. Do you want more of it? Oh, come on. You want more of it? You know, the more you get of him, the more power. Not in yourself. It's the power of God, the universe. He's dwelling in us. We don't want to limit him. Good Lord, don't put God in a box. He's a creator of the universe. He says, you're my kid. I love you so much. Let's go do something together. Yes, Lord. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 34, 35, and 36, we read that he says, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom of that I prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Ooh, isn't that good? For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. When Jesus returns, he will come as king with all the royal dignity due him. Those counted as sheep on the king's right hand will be recognized as the ones who have already been blessed by the Father. Can I have an amen? Amen. They will receive a reward. Amen. Amen. And here we go. This inheritance is no sense a payment for good deeds done. It is a gift.
Oh, man, I love this gift.
Their works of mercy are the outward evidence of their inner nature. Because of what Jesus has already done for you, so we should ask ourselves this question. How much outward evidence has been accumulated in my case? And that's a self-examination. We in the chaplaincy call verbatims, right? Where you do a verbatim, where you do a case study. And it's an observation. Here's what's going on. Then we have the application of observing what the text and what's going on around the surrounding in this meeting. And then we actually go through a dialogue, what took place in this interview. And then we do a theological reflection. How do I see God work in this case? How do I see the psychological, sociological? Here's all the things that went on. Here's what I did good. Here's what I did bad. You know, we need to do that as followers of Jesus. We need to examine and say, Lord, is there enough evidence in my case to convict me? That's a Christian. That's a follower of Jesus of Nazareth. When the social workers out there, when those people who are in the world system, and I'm not just saying so, many social workers are strong believers. But I'm just saying, when you think about the world out there, well, they have enough evidence to say, that's a Christian. That's a follower of Jesus because they're consistent. They persevere. They show up. When they're asked to do something, they do it better than anybody else. Is that the testimony we have, you see? You see, that's the testimony that Jesus says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, that gift, these works of mercy are the outward evidence. You see, is my local mission ministry, right here, my outside these church walls, my daily living, my life for Jesus, seeking to encourage the hopeless, caring for the stranger, visiting the shut-ins, is there evidence of Christian witness in whatever I do? Does the evidence show up in my file? You see, examples of verses 35 and 36 are acts of the most humble service and deep love. The sheep shared the compassionate heart of Jesus who fed the 5,000. You see, caring for those who are without a warm meal here in Anchorage. It is meeting the needs of the homeless, the disenfranchised, the hungry, not only physical, but like Jesus, he was concerned about their spiritual hunger as well. You see, I just don't want to go out there with this purpose. Well, I'm going to do a good deed today. Go feed somebody. You know what I want to do is I want to say, you know, you look hungry, brother. Can I lay, you know, just lay some hands on you? May I, permission, may I pray for you? May I comfort you? May I share the good news to you? May I, right? Get that in your mouth. May I help you? May I pray for you? And if they say no, that's you just say, praise the Lord. I will be praying for you. I'll just be praying for you. You see that guy next week in the coffee shop, and the guy looks at you, and he says, and you go, look, I'm praying for you, man. Oh, sure, right? Let him go. See him next week, coffee shop again, 1-2 weeks later. Hey, man, praying for you. And the guy, look, about the third time, he's saying, he's going to bring it up, you bet. He's going to say, are you still praying for me? You bet, brother. You got an invitation now, right? You got an invitation before. You walked away from that, you wouldn't get that information. You just pray for that, brother. Oh. We want to be alert to opportunities, folks. What does Colossians 4:2 mean to you? It means devoted to prayer. Devoted. Man, I'm committed to the prayer. I have a prayer life. Do you have a prayer life? I mean a prayer life. Morning, noon, night, just praying. Oh, God, give me direction, right? Devoted to prayer. That verse in Colossians 4:2 says this, devoted to prayer, watchful, right? That's alert, man. Oh, I'm just like, when I go to work, I'm tuned into the Holy Spirit, man. And God's going to put those divine appointments, woo-hoo, put them right in your path. Are you looking for them, though? Are you so fixed on your stuff? You're so caught up in the material world. You're caught up in this world that you're not watchful. You're missing out on the greatest gifts, the opportunities to love people with Christ's love. What a blessing. And those missionaries, praise you guys. You guys know it, and I'm not telling you to. But if you have not experienced the love of ministering to people and touching them, and then you walk away going, oh, that was so cool. Oh, you get blessed. You go there to bless them, and you walk out going, whoa. And you know when that happens? You can't turn it off. You can't, man. That's all you'll want to do. And you know, while you're on planet Earth, you couldn't, you know, you may not be here after this meeting. What you gonna do about it, right? Ooh. Time is now. Right now. Right now. And I'm not, if you're 6 years old or you're 106, Mom, God bless you, but God has not got through. He's not through with you yet. We've got to be that light all the time. I wanted to do this. My wife said we can't do it, but I wanted to do this. We have some friends, you know, and he loves flashlights, okay? And I'm going to tell you something. This was such an impact. It blew my mind. I said, you know, that is such a good illustration. You know, if you have a little, you ever seen a pen light? A little tiny pen light, right? And I'm going, you know, you have a little discussion, say, you know, aren't we the light of the world? You know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. You know, and you got a little pen light, right? And you go, well, that's cool. You know, I'm a pen light, I'm a light, you know, and I got this comfortable place in this church, man, I'm doing good. Praise the Lord, you know, boom. And then I see this person, you know, who is just a witness for Christ and just wanting to do God's work. And, you know, this little janitor lady, but she just loves the Lord and praises God everywhere she goes and encourages everybody. She goes her extra mile and gives everything she's got, man. You know what her light looks like? Have you ever seen these flashlights that are this big around? Boom, right? Right? I want to be a light like that, right? Or do you want to be a pen light? Right? The same Holy Spirit lives in you. I put my pants on the same way you do. You know, you've come to know Jesus. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever. He indwells us, having heard the word of truth, having believed you were what? Sealed. He's in you. I can do all things. Big old beacon light, right? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep, that's it. Examples here. Boy, caring for those who are without a warm meal here in Anchorage. I mean, there's lots of folks that need a lot of help. His sheep meet that need by being alert to opportunities, watchful, as the Apostle Paul exhorts in Colossians 4:2, devoted to prayer, watchful, with what? An attitude of thankfulness. Thank you, Lord, I'm saved. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for wiping my sins away. Come, let's reason together. Though my sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Alert to opportunities to share Christ's love through acts of compassion. That is how an old stubborn goat is going to see Jesus alive. Since the goats refuse to listen, they will, however, these goats, they will respond to consistent compassion. And then God will open that old goat heart and convert it to a sheep heart and place it on the right side. Yes. But see, just like Isaiah, he recognized that he was a sinner. He said, God, I'm a sinner. And God said, I'm going to touch you, and I'm burning that sin away. And Jesus took that for you and me. He burned that sin away. It's gone. And when he recognized, when Isaiah said that, and he heard the voice of God, and God said, who will go for me? And Isaiah said, here am I. Here am I. Right? With an attitude of thankfulness, a heart of going, not, well, here I am. Okay, I guess I'll go and volunteer today. No, man. You know what Isaiah said? Because I'm free, free indeed. Here I am, send me. And God says, what? Go. And you don't know where you're going to go. You just go. Because if you're empowered by the Holy Spirit, which you ought to be, you know, Jesus indwells you, God is in you, you can walk in power. Going every step I take, you step there already. You already stepped there. You already stepped there. I'm walking in faith. I'm walking like that. I'm walking like that. And he'll, what shall I say? You don't have to worry what to say. You just show up and say, hey, I love you, man. God bless you. You're the best. Woo! Come alongside people like that. Oh, people don't know how to handle that. They don't, because you encourage people. You're lifting them up. You know how hard people get beat up every day in their work and everything. You know, you're there too. But here we are, Christians. We lift him up and say, God bless you for working today. Have a great day. Love you, man. You're the best. You walk out like that, you'll make friends. They're going to want to see you. And you know, when they're hitting the wall, you're going to be able to go over to them and go, hey, may I pray for you? And you know what? You might just lead somebody to Jesus. There's nothing better. Not on planet Earth. You see, the sheep visited the sick. And visit is a wondrous word as it's used in the Bible. Visit refers to God's gracious visitations of mercy and love. Visiting the sick means caring for their needs and letting them roll their worries onto another's shoulder. You see, I understand this firsthand because I am, as not as the professor at school, but I am a chaplain, you know. I serve as the staff director of chaplaincies for California's largest state health institution. I oversee and have trained scores of chaplains, volunteer lay chaplains, not professionals, ministers of love and comfort. And I pray today some of you will come to this workshop. If you can handle this energy, come at 3 o'clock today and we'll talk about how we can get involved, how we can identify need, how we seek God for vision, how we look at process, and then how do we get a little program. If you've got something going right now, we'll look at how theologically, how biblically, we can take and strengthen that we can be more effective. 3 o'clock, sign up in the back. Don't be a hearer of the word, be a doer of the word. That's what I'm going to do. Brothers, missions, and brothers and sisters, it's in Christ that local mission ministry, your community, which is right outside these doors. Christ is calling you and me to seek the need and pray for vision and see what God's process is, and our response ought to be, yes, Lord. And listen to the question and the key word as we go to Matthew 25. Verse 37, 36, and I probably have to watch my time, right? I do. I'm already over. Oh, my. Well, let me just have a little collage here. Then the righteous will answer, when did we see you hungry? And when did we see you a stranger and take you in and naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in the prison or come to you? You know, I look at when is really when, right? It's when. I want to win people to Christ. Amen. I want to be a victor because I am more than a conqueror. I go, yeah, let's win for this. Win. You know, it's an attitude here of different people. And we can click to the next one, right? King Jesus responded to the question of the righteous, assuredly, don't you just love it when God uses the word assuredly? Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. By explaining that when they showed love to his brothers and sisters, they were showing it to him. Brothers and brethren, the least of these, clearly indicate that Jesus meant disciples and believers first. First, we care for our Christian family in the hospital, and my chaplaincy team visits the Christians first. We pray for them, encourage them, lift them up first. And then we charge them to pray for the nurses. We put them to work. We put them to work inasmuch. We do it to them first because we know if we go to an old goat, right, a non-believer, he ain't going to pray for nobody. You know, he's not going to be a witness for anybody. We go to the believers first, right? We build each other up. That's what we're doing today. We're lifting each other up. We're praising God through his word that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world, and he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen? Oh, yes, indeedy. And you know, I will conclude in this, and I probably ought to click that one, and we'll move right on because I got to wrap it up. It's all about love because love never fails, folks. Never fails. You can go to the next slide, and that probably will just wrap it up. Remember, here's the close. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Ooh, I could probably preach another 10 hours on that. But we're not going to do that because I'm already in trouble. He's doing this. Look, look, I love you guys. No, he's not doing our pastor. I'm just, but you know, this is it. Isn't that it? Local mission right here, folks. And I think that's why I praise God that Justin said, Pastor David, would you mind coming up and talking to our group, you know? And I said, I'll talk about local mission. I'll talk about where God has placed me, what he's done in my life, to be able to be a chaplain in state hospitals, and I have ministries in public schools. I've set up after-school homework clubs in public elementary schools. 5 days a week, 3 hours a day, we teach character values. We do their homework. We do their recreation. It's like a VBS every day. And kids and families are getting saved. And the schools love us. I've got 22 schools wanting this program. I've got 4 already going. I mean, hello, you know? You know, it's like, okay. We got inner city ministries, and then I'm the pastor to the Americans in the prisons in Mexico. I've got 300 Americans in Tijuana State Prison. And we go there every week. Started that 12 years ago. Go every week and preach the gospel. People getting saved in the worst goats you can imagine. Coming. Yeah, amen. You don't even know prisoners. We're talking some bad dudes. But you know what? God's word. Ooh, just preach the word. People get slain in the spirit. And I'm telling you, talking about laid out. And they're new creations in Christ. And come out. We've got church plants going from the prison ministry. We men and lives are changed, right? Because we are saying, Lord, use us, right? Right here. Local mission, right here. Anchorage has got prisons. You've got homeless. You've got hospitals. You've got families. You've got children. You've got needy folks. There's lots of mission opportunities right here. Amen? Let's see how we can implement that today. Is that right? Let's all agree in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Your word is powerful and unchanging. It's immutable. It is you, God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And Lord, we thank you for being with us today. I pray, God, you'd move on the hearts of these people. Bless them, encourage them, Lord, and love them, oh God, as you do unconditionally. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.